Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Welcome to today's show with my good friends over at AASA, the Supervisors. I'm Norma, the School Superintendents Association. And they brought along a company they work with called Transcend. We've got a guest from each company. We're going to talk about how two organizations are working together to highlight inspiring and actionable stories of leadership in schools and districts right now from across the education system and across the nation. So it's going to be a nice show. We're going to archive at ace-ed.org. That's our equity website, our American Consortium for Equity and Education, over at ace-ed.org. Membership's open to everybody in education, so it's free. I hope you go over there, join up with us, ace-ed.org, and read our brand new issue of Equity and Access magazine, which is absolutely excellent. I know you'll enjoy it, so please go over ace-ed.org. And without further ado, let me bring on my guests. I'm looking forward to this show. We have from AASA, Brian, are you there?
Good morning, Larry. Great to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Good to have you here. Brian is the project director over at AASA, Brian Jaffe. And where are you located? Where are you calling from, Brian?
I'm calling from Charleston, South Carolina this morning.
Charleston, South Carolina. But it's warmer than here in Cornish, Maine.
It's not very warm, but I'd take that bet, too.
I think it's warmer. I got news for you. And Sujata, are you there? Yes.
I am here.
Delighted. Hi, how are
here.
You? Sujata Bhatt. I hope I'm doing this right. Sujata Bhatt.
It was perfect. Yes.
Am I good?
That's
am I good?
Yes.
Okay. Thank
yep.
you. Thank
Transcend.
You.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. From Transcend, which sounds very mystical, by the way. Transcend. Your name. Your name sounds perhaps Pakistani, or perhaps I don't know where you're from. Where's that name from?
I was born in India.
In I was going to say India. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to go Pakistan,
in
India,
Angeles.
Then I figured I'm getting in trouble, so I'm just going to let you tell me where you were born. Okay? So this is good. And Transcend sounds very mystical, very nice, very Indian. I like that. Okay?
I don't think we're aiming for mystical, but we're aiming to build bridges across different divides, for sure.
It's pretty good. Very, very Hindu. I like it. So thank you very much. It's great. Okay. So AASA, I do a lot of shows with them, et cetera. Tell us about – people know AASA, so I want to go over to Sujata. Tell us about Transcend. I don't think everybody knows what they do.
Sure, I'd love to. So Transcend is a national nonprofit. We worked in about half the states in the United States, and we are just finishing up our fifth year. And what we do is help communities. We support communities to design extraordinary, equitable learning environments. And we really do believe in that all children have infinite potential. To realize this potential, we have to reimagine schooling. And that's what we get in and do, is help communities build research and development processes and design processes to enable them to transform their schools.
Oh, I love that. We here at my company, we are the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and we're trying to create a great place of communication to help the educators and the industry work together. Okay, I would love you to get more involved with that. Would that be possible? So we're on the same wavelength here.
Yeah, we should have a follow-up call and learn more about each other. That sounds
we
wonderful.
Are going to learn more about each other. This is really fantastic. I didn't know a company such as yours existed. And also, okay, you said you're in L.A., am I correct?
I am, yes. But our organization is national. We're everywhere.
I know
we
that, but you got up at 6 in the morning
COVID.
To do this show. I thank you. It's 6 in the morning.
You're welcome.
Brian, we two lazy schleps, it's 9 in the morning. She got up at 6 in the morning. She deserves the Medal of Honor.
She does. I wouldn't be on with you at 6, Larry, but I'm happy to do it at 9.
Right. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. So, Jazzy, you get the Larry Medal of Honor. It'll be in the mail sometime over the next week. Okay?
Thank you. As long as it comes with coffee.
Right, well, I hope you're still in your jammies and you go back to bed after this is done. Okay? I'll be quick. Okay? 6 in the morning doing this stuff. I got to tell you, it's amazing. That's really nice. When you guys did you work with school? You said you work with communities. And do you mean school districts? When you say communities, what are the communities you work with? The type of community?
That's a great question. We work with all kinds of communities. So we work with schools. We work with districts. We work with charter networks. We work with organizations. We work with homeschooling cooperatives. We work with anyone who has a stake in thinking about how children learn and how teaching happens.
Wow, I love it. How long has the company been around, the nonprofit?
We just finished our fifth year. Half a decade.
Mazel tov. Congratulations. That's great.
And,
happy 5 years.
And we're a nonprofit, by the way.
And you're
not
a nonprofit.
Company.
I know that. Yes, I know that.
Okay.
Okay. I was thinking that as I said it, but nothing's coming out right, so that's all right. Okay? It's 6 in the morning, for God's sakes, in L.A. Stop correcting me. I'm supposed to be correcting you. It's 6 in the morning. Okay? Sorry. Now let's swing over to Brian. Okay, Brian, how'd you find Transcend, and what are you doing with them? Brian Joffe, Project Director, AASA, for some reason in South Carolina, no one knows why. Why are you in South Carolina?
Well, like Sujata, our organization is a national organization, and we are also everywhere working with districts all over the country. And so I'm here in South Carolina, and I do help a lot of our southern states regionally, but I also work all across this great land with Sujata. But what happened was this pandemic that we're in, this coronavirus, really threw the education system, into chaos a little bit. We're all having a very difficult year, but educators in particular, very difficult decisions. And Transcend and AASA were both looking to put out ideas and resources. This is going back to the spring, to really help school leaders manage that initial crisis moment and plan for what we all felt was going to be a longer than just a moment of crisis, but really perhaps a whole school year, or at least at that point in March, looking at a calendar year of crisis to get to the end of this year. And so we really found each other through both of us putting out some really interesting stuff at the beginning, talking to each other about, do we want to work together on this leading through the coronavirus pandemic? And that led to even deeper work that we're now doing together called Roads to Reinvention, which not only looks at what's happening this year with schools in this very challenging year, but also works with some school districts, and then in some webinar series, getting out to everyone, how do we take the lessons of this year, right? What can we take from this year to build into a better normal for 2021? So not going back to the old normal, but having a new idea about education for 2021. So when we're past this crisis, what can we build for children and for families that's better, more equitable, and more sustainable for the future?
Beautifully said, and I know Sujata was thinking the same thing. Okay, that's exactly right. As lousy, as stinky, as horrible as this pandemic is, and I don't have to go into the details of that, okay? If we don't learn something from this and make changes, okay, we deserve the trouble we would have. We would deserve it, okay? And my standing line has been, okay, in March, we learned we all kicked the can down the road long enough. And when we got to the end of the road, which we did in March, it was a cliff. Okay? And we all fell off together. And if we can't learn a lesson from that, okay, we've got bigger problems than any of us thought. So on that note, what are the lessons that are coming out of this? What have we learned? What have you guys ascertained so far? I'll go back to Sujata. With that beautiful name, I'm going to add.
Thank you. I like the way you're framing it. Silver linings are made, right? They're not just found.
Yeah.
We have to make them. It's a pivotal moment that we are arriving at where we want to create a reinvention versus just trying to go back to the normal. So what we have discovered is, like, what we've been doing, Brian and I started by just surfacing stories of leadership from communities across the nation, because even during this pandemic, some communities were more agile, more flexible, more able to respond than others. And so we wanted to bring their stories out. And from that, we've been deepening our understandings of how things can work. And I think that we're finding that systems that really engage in tapping the innovation energy within their systems, their teachers, their staff, their parents, their students. We've been running these webinar series where students and superintendents come on and talk to people about what's happening from the different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of community-based design processes have enabled people to work together and really build a coalition that is invested in thinking about how to redesign effectively and, most importantly, equitably. So communities that are also understanding equity gaps, understanding and designing from the margins so that students who don't have access design for them and everyone gets access.
And, you know, and we all knew this. We all knew there was a problem. Okay. We knew it in February. The pandemic hit in March. We knew it. But as I said before, we kicked the can down the road. That was the easy way. What gives us hope? And, Brian, I'll swing over to you. And you work with great superintendents. I have them on all the time here. Okay. Thanks to Jimmy Minicello, my buddy over there at AASA, who helps me put the shows together. Okay. I got it. Brian, okay. What are you hearing out there? Are we making changes? What's going on? What's the revelation, the reinvention? What are you hearing besides words, if anything, besides words?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, one of the things that we learned is that a lot of people in the education reform space, a lot of people in the education space writ large were correct. We've been hammering that relationships were key. We've been trying to highlight a lot of these inequities that exist. And now that, you know, here we are in this pandemic, these things have been shown in even brighter light. They're under the microscope, and these inequities are no longer something that even anyone can ignore for those that were ignoring it. What we've learned really is that we have to forge better partnerships, bolder ideas with our children and families about how we're going to serve everyone, because we have a problem that we're not serving all children. And this pandemic has really shown, I think, in really stark contrast, the resources that families have at home, the resources that schools are or aren't providing, and what's going to happen if we continue to fail to serve some of our children. So, I mean, I'm inspired by our leaders that are working to not just serve children and families in terms of education and support and resources, but they're working to feed children and families.
Yes,
Great leaders like Ann Levette in Savannah Chatham County. She's doing an excellent job making sure that students have technology, of course, and that their online system and that their in-person and hybrid learning is going as well as it possibly can. But they're also working really diligently to make sure that students and families have the food that they need to survive, either through economic hardship that existed before the pandemic or after the pandemic. And so it really, in education, we're really working with young people. We're taking people's children for the day, and that is a sacred responsibility that I think too often has been overlooked as, well, the parents can figure it out or some combination. But really, if schools are going to work for all children, especially in areas of high need, they have to look at the whole child, and they have to build systems and structures that engage children across all of their needs, not just making sure that they can get towards, you know, academic enrichment on a test at the end of the year, but really thinking about how to develop children as people, how to develop their creativity, their ingenuity. And we're seeing that in districts. And, you know, the digital divide is something we've heard a lot about, and that's such a solvable problem, Larry. It's such a solvable problem to get internet as a public good in everyone's home. It's such a solvable problem in a country with as many resources as ours to get devices to every kid. But it's much deeper than that. You know, that's one part of the inequity, but it's much deeper than just whether they have a device or whether they have access to internet. It's really about serving their hierarchy of needs and making sure that they can thrive and succeed.
And Brian, what we've been doing for many decades now is just like in software, you know, how they release a program and put patches on it and they fix this problem and that problem and that problem. It becomes this big unwieldy monster. And in some ways that's what our schools have become. And they create these disjointed, like Frankenstein-like experiences for kids. And we have to make sure not to do that again. And so what Transcend really believes is that you need to create cohesive, coherent school models that can be implemented well. And that means like thinking about the student experience as a student moves through a day. How is this a meaningful learning experience across the entire amount of time that the student is there and includes learning that happens after school versus I'm going to take this class and do this and this thing is going to happen here? We've got to create, like, architects don't build buildings without a blueprint first, right? What is the blueprint for teaching and learning and school design that every school community needs to create coherent and extraordinary experiences for their learners.
Well, well said. And, you know, you guys reminded me, we had a nor'easter here, big snowstorm. Snow is this white stuff falls from the skies, Sujata.
I moved here from Boston, so
I
know.
Okay. You know, I live in Maine. Okay, I'm good. All right. So, thank you. Well, let me explain it then to Brian. Brian, snow is this white stuff that falls from the sky, okay? And you can't drive in more than an eighth of an inch of it. It is possible. But that's besides the point. Smart move, Boston, L.A. I like that, by the way, Sujata. But so it was a heavy snow. I'm making a point here. A bunch of trees came down. I lost a big one, thankfully, in my backyard. Okay, but when the trees come down, so do all the electrical wires. Okay, and so right now we have electricity. We did for a day, but my son is still out. Okay, one town over, and right now like 80,000 people don't have power in the state of Maine. So what is Central Maine Power doing? They're reinstalling all the wires, which means next year when there's another nor'easter, all the trees will come down again and all the wires will come down. Okay? Nobody thought ever this is so penny-wise, pound foolish to put the damn wires underground. Okay? It's that simple in this day and age. Okay? But now, yeah, of course, it's too expensive to do it. And what you're saying, Sujata, is the same exact thing. We can't keep putting the wires above ground when there's trees and nor'easters coming, okay? And that's the education system, okay? We have to make changes, which brings me to the next question. All the ideas, okay, and believe me, I'm with you 100%, guys. All the ideas are great, but where do we find, and this is key, the resources to do it? All these things we have to do, we need dollars, we need money. Obviously, the country's not in great economic shape anyway right now due to the pandemic. So where do we go from here? As you talk to rural districts, big urban districts, we're all strapped, okay? Some of them have the same problems. Some of them have different problems, okay? What do we do? Okay, I'll ask Sujata, who obviously knows the answer. Go ahead, Sujata. That's a joke. I know you don't know the answer. I just figured I'd lay it on you.
You just put the wires underground. That's what you do.
That's all there is to it, see?
I think that this is where education can learn from other sectors, right? We invest the least amount in R&D of almost any industry, if you want to think of us as an industry.
That's a great point.
Like
20%
in R&D, right? Technology, 20% in R&D. And if the government and foundations seed the R&D costs, what happens is down the road, you get a computer like the iPhone that is more powerful than the computers we use to send people to the moon in people's pockets, and costs go down. But you've got to do that upfront R&D innovation so that we can create models that local communities can have like a GitHub or a library of models and say, hey, we now understand what we want to promise our graduates, what their graduate aims should be, and let's borrow from what those people over in North Carolina and Edgecombe County did, and we can borrow something from Lindsay Unified in California, instead of everyone reinventing the wheel in the most inefficient processes possible. Let's front load the R&D money, build a model so that people can adapt them and adopt them to their local context, but coherently.
Coherently is the key word. By the way, I did a show about 3 weeks ago with Lindsay Unified. Okay, they're a
lovely
school district. Yeah, well, funny you should mention them. They're a lovely school district. Good people.
Yeah, Tom Rooney and his team are amazing.
I don't know Tom, but I talked to a few. I think I talked to a vice principal or a principal. I can't remember, but I remember talking to Lindsay, and it was pretty cool. I'd love to meet Tom because I love great ideas. Resources. What are you hearing? You guys run the show, Brian.
Well, we do, Larry. As you know, we run the entire show. No, what I would say is, you know, you talked about economically how we're doing it, and of course, the pandemic has hit the economy hard, but I would also say we are a country of vast wealth and resources, and there are decisions that have to be made about where we put those resources. And for too long, we've decided that education is a place that can get just enough to kind of cover itself and not enough to really succeed for all students. And so I think there is a conversation to be had. We're heading into a new administration. We're heading into a new decade. I'm looking forward to some broader conversations about what it really means to support children and families and what it really means to support an education system that's going to compete in the 21st century global economy. We talk about it a lot, as you said, Larry, words-wise. There's been a lot of big talk about it, but I don't see the trillion-dollar package for education like I do for the Green New Deal. And, you know, it's great that we invest in lots of different things, but we have decisions to make and we have lots of resources to do it with. Our schools don't, as you said, our cities don't and our school districts don't, although there are some inexpensive ways to succeed. You know, I was thinking of the R&D, as Sujata said in the old, I think it's apocryphal, but the old story about the U.S. scientists trying to find a pen that could work in space and spending all this money to find an anti-gravity pen while the Russians used a lead pencil. Unaffected by gravity. There are also,
I actually never heard that before. That's actually pretty funny.
There are also inexpensive ways if you're thinking smarter and you're thinking more creatively about where you want to put your own resources and what you want to do in terms of your time, your talent, the staff that you have, the buildings you have. There are things that school districts can do better, but they don't have enough resources to do everything that they want to do and everything that they need to do. And that does come down to our states and our federal government making education a genuine priority. It is something that affects all of us every day, and it just doesn't get the dollars that it needs in the way that other sectors do. And so I think that's hopefully a conversation that will be coming with a new Congress, with a new president, and with this new decade ahead of us.
You're right. And I'll tell you, I want to just say this, that education, besides the U.S. Post Office, is the one thing every American has in common. Okay? The Post Office delivers to everybody every day. I guess the IRS is one of those two. Okay? Everybody went through school. Everybody went through school. Okay? So come on, everybody. We know that when you have good schools and put the money into your house values go up and your kids learn better. So I don't know what's holding everybody back. You guys are putting together stories of leadership. Okay, we got about 6 minutes left. Sujata, do you have a favorite story? You mentioned Lindsay, but you can talk about any district. What's the one that I say, what's your favorite story out there of great leadership these days? And and Sujata answers.
There are so many, but I'm going to highlight Edgecombe County in rural North Carolina. Superintendent is Dr. Valerie Bridges, and she is taking innovation and making it deeply, deeply community-based. They started a few years ago with a micro school. So just a small-scale experiment following R&D processes and methods to help understand why some students were not succeeding or happy with their high school. They launched pilots. They built a design team. They really took a deep kind of study of the science of learning and development, because in the last 20 years, we've learned tons about the neurobiology of learning and how
students
learn. And schools should be, to go back to R&D, designed through that kind of understanding.
I have a bachelor's of science in education, Sujata. I didn't know any science of education. I have a BS in education. Nobody bothered to teach me the science, or anybody else, I might add. There's a science.
And
there.
We learned so much. Exactly. Yeah. And so they took that and like made those part of the DNA of how people designed and thought and how they see things. And they took that micro school and scaled it across the high school so that more kids had access to the learnings from their design processes and the experiments that they ran, the pilots they created. From that, they grew
coherent blueprint.
Exactly, to multiple schools.
Yep.
And they are also thinking about their whole school, their system, and how the district and central office can support this kind of work, which is community-based, but still, what can the central office do to support them and bridge state policies and help the school communities
the
do
key
what
word
they
to that
want
is
to do
communicate.
Versus get in the way?
Yeah, the key word to that is communicate. Okay,
exactly.
That's what the schools need to do, and I bet you that's what she did in Edgecombe County. It's unbelievable. As we wind down here, I want to ask you something. Where are these stories? Where's everything going to be, Brian? Is it going to be at AASA.org? Tell everybody where it's going to be.
It'll be on both of our websites. You can go to transcendeducation.org. You can go to AASA.org. And just to follow up on something Sujata just said, if you go to transcendeducation.org, /community ace-events.news, you'll see that we're holding a webinar this Thursday, December 10th, with Dr. Valerie Bridges of Edgecombe County, and you can register right there at that site for our webinar. We're going to be talking to Valerie Bridges about the great work in Edgecombe, so we're excited to have her on with us this Thursday, December 10th at 2 p.m. Eastern. But yeah, you can go to ASA.org, you can go to transcendeducation.org, and you can find a lot of these stories, a lot of great leadership that's
How are they listed?
This most challenging time.
On the blog. Yep, these are surfaced on the blog. And Valerie, by the way, on this webinar, Dr. Bridges, is bringing a principal and a student.
So that's wonderful.
Even in the webinar, brings everyone's voices in.
Yeah, well, she's got to. We're going to talk. I got your number here, okay? I'm going to call you on this 310 number, okay? So, Jonathan, we're going to talk, and I want to do more with you guys because we're on the same wavelength here. And, Brian, I already do a lot, but do you know my friend Jimmy Minicello, who I know is listening? Do you know Jimmy?
Of course he's my friend and colleague at ASA.
All right, well, you tell Jimmy, who is my best pal, him and Mort Sherman over at AASA. Okay, now you, okay? But you tell Jimmy, okay, that he never sent me any information about the December 10th webinar, and we will always publish that stuff for you guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I talk to Jimmy all the time, okay? But you guys have to keep me posted here, okay? So can you two both yell at Jimmy?
Yes. Consider it done, Larry.
I mean, like top of your lungs screaming, you know, flying to Washington, grabbing him by his coat collar, that kind of thing.
Name calling, the whole thing. I'm going to do it right when we get off there.
Yeah, thank you. I will appreciate that, as will Mr. Minicello. I know he will. Okay, it's called tough love is what we call it, tough love. Okay, so Sujata, we're going to leave now. I want you to gulp that coffee, go back to bed.
I'm going to get on the treadmill. Be virtuous.
629, good girl. Boston, that sounds very Boston to California. Get on the treadmill. In Boston, they're going back to bed. Okay, so I'm very proud of you, okay, for doing that. Brian, stay warm down there, okay? And Brian,
thank
let me just leave with one question. Who has the better barbecue, North or South Carolina? I really don't know. Can you help me?
South Carolina, Larry. We've got Rodney Scott Barbecue right here in Charleston. It's the best.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a minute. What about South Los Angeles? Come on here.
Yeah, okay. So, Josh, maybe they hear me. I said barbecue. I don't mean to be rude there. Okay. So, right. That's funny. Hey. It's California, which is going nuts with this pandemic. Please, Sujata, stay safe. We will be talking soon, okay?
Sounds great.
But stay
Thank
safe,
you.
Okay?
It's
really bad out there. This has been wonderful.
Yeah,
thank you both. Brian,
thank
we'll
you
talk
for having
again,
us,
my
guys.
Friend. Thank you.
Absolutely,
okay,
sir.
Take
thank
care,
you
both
take
of you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What great folks, everybody. That's AASA, our good friends over at AASA.org. That's Brian Jaffe down in South Carolina, Best Barbecue. North Carolina, did you hear that? Okay, and Sujata Bhatt, okay, for transcendeducation.org. I'm going to do more with them. I like that company. I never heard of them before, thank God. Okay, I thought I heard of everybody, but I haven't, obviously, so it's cool. We'll be talking, okay? And she's over at transcendeducation.org, okay? And they're putting together these great stories. We have to work together. We have to work this out. We can't let it happen again, all right? Somebody once said that in a rock and roll song, we won't get fooled again. My name's Larry Jacobs. Please, this podcast is going to be archived over at ace-ed.org, our American Consortium for Equity and Education, ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening.